Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. I'd like to go with Ephesians. I'd like to go to book. Primarily, I'm going to stay in Ephesians, I believe. Take a few places. Verse 1, let Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, I sat down and read the book of Ephesians through this morning. I often read that book. Sit down and just read it through. And it's not a hard book to read, but you have to understand it's a revelation book. It's not a book that you can just pick up and just, you know, oh, what did I just read? You read it and you say, what did I just read? I just read a bunch of words. But this is a book that is God-breathed, revelation-breathed. And as you read it, you open your spirit, man. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened, and you begin. I think that where I want to begin, that what I'm carrying inside of me for this mess, for everyone this morning, and for the message that I'm carrying, I sense the Lord is getting ready to birth some new, really birth revelation in us, really birth insight that we've seen it, but we've never lived in it. It's like, it's one thing to look at a pond or a pool or say, I like to go swimming, but it's another thing to really get in there and enjoy the pool and live in it and enjoy. I've always said it's like swimming. It's like I've always wanted to swim, but until I actually learned how to swim, I just wanted to. You know, there's a lot of difference in wanting to walk by faith and actually walking by faith. And so the message today is about faith. And because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that's a real important understanding that you have got to get. Thank you, Father, for the revelation of faith today. I thank God for the revelation. Now, this prayer that Paul began to pray, and before he ever prayed this prayer, shared this is a letter, of course. This is a letter to a church he established. And a letter that Timothy is pastoring. And there's people there that God is raising up, but they did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to read. They didn't have Romans. They didn't have Ephesians. Until now, they get Ephesians. This is their Ephesians book they get. And they get this letter, but this is a people that are so hungry for God. They came out of paganism. They worshiped the goddess Diana. They came out of paganism. They believed in, they worshiped demons and devils, basically. Soothsayers. All kinds of things were going on in that city. So they were completely converted to Christianity, to being a Christian. And they were totally sold out to God. And they were hungry for God. Now in Romans chapter 12, Paul's speaking to the Roman church. And I think, honestly, I've heard this in my spirit, and I believe it's real important this week. I've been hearing God say it to me over and over and over. Every time I listen to a tape or I listen to or read a book or anything, it's like this keeps coming to me. That Christians do not know the difference in when God is speaking to them or he's speaking to sinners. And there's a huge difference because God could say one thing to sinners and he's saying something totally different to Christians. There is a definite, something happened when you became a Christian. You're not a sinner any longer. And so we have to know, is God talking to the Christian or is he talking to the sinner? Now that may not seem important, but it is really important when you start listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because the Spirit is talking to the church. Spirit of God's been talking to the church for 2,000 years. Because the church didn't exist until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Until then, it was the Jewish nation who had covenant with God through the Abrahamic covenant. The laws of Moses were through the Abrahamic covenant. And the Gentile world, which had no hope and was without God completely. So they were the lost. The Jews were not lost. They're God's chosen people. They had a covenant with God. But there's a lost world that does not have a covenant with God, who doesn't know God, and they're called sinners. So when God starts talking to people in the Word of God, you have to discern, who is he addressing? Is he addressing Christians, or is he talking to sinners? We've taken Romans 10, 9, 8, 9, and 10, and we've said, oh, that's just for sinners. That's just for sinners. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That was not written to sinners. That book was not written to sinners or pagans. It was written to the body of Christ. It was written to the church. And the church has taken it and left it on the sideline and thought, well, that's just for so we can use the verse to get people to come to Jesus. And that's all they do with it. That's all the church world knows to do with that verse. They don't know how to use that verse and live in that verse and operate in that verse. But that verse was given to the church. That word was given to the church. If you will believe in your heart, and if you will confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be delivered, set free, whatever it is you're proclaiming. Now, I have said this so many times, and especially lately, that I have come to a place where my prayer life is so different than it used to be. When I first came to Jesus, for an example, when I first came to know the Lord, most of my time was spent before God. I'm talking hours and hours and hours. I'm talking hours. I didn't spend just an hour. I would spend 4 and 5 hours. One time I got into the spirit of intercession and I was caught up from about 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning and didn't realize, where have I been? I've been somewhere, but I've been praying somewhere. This is when I first became a Christian. But I can remember back when I began to first seek God that most of my prayer life was all about me. I began to pray for other people, but the only thing I knew to pray for other people was, Lord, bless Joe and bless Sarah and bless this one. And Lord, help this one and help that one. And it was like I was just trying to get God's attention and I was trying to just get God to think about these people. He's already thinking about those people. And I really, my prayer life was being developed, you see. My prayer life was being changed. But I began to seek God and pray to the best of my ability, to the best of my mental capacity, out of my English language, out of my understanding. You cannot pray beyond what you know. Did you know that? You can't believe beyond what you know either. But there are different types of knowledge and there's different types of prayers. But I began to pray. I was always trying to get God to do something for me. If I could just talk him into it. I heard Brother Callahan say that this week, and I said, buddy, that's right. I can remember just trying my best to talk God into doing something for me. I started crying out to God, will you, God, do this? And will you, God, do that for this one? And I was now the one who was going to talk God into doing things for people. I'm the one's going to talk God into helping that one. I'm the one that's got to help God out to get this one helped. And it was like, okay, I got to talk God into helping somebody or helping me. And it's like I was always trying to talk God into it, not realizing he already had provided everything that person needed. It's already done. Everything's complete. Do you understand that God is not going to come down? Oh, this is so important. God is never, ever going to come back down and do anything for any of us. That's a hard thing to get. That's a hard thing for people to really get a revelation of, is that God is not going to come down and do anything more than he's already done at the cross. When he was taken and stripped and beaten, there was something happened. Something was provided. Something was given to the human race. Something was given. Unto us a son is given. Now that was a word to the Jews. Jesus came to his own first. He was born a Jew under the Abrahamic covenant, and he lived under the Jewish law and in the Abrahamic covenant. He came to his own first, but they rejected him. And we understand that they totally rejected their Messiah. He was their Messiah. How sad. How sad that they were not able to receive him. They couldn't see him. And do you know that this is the very same thing that most Christians do? They don't receive him. They don't see it. They don't get it. They don't get the whole thing. They just believe that, you know, you get saved and you accept Jesus and now you're a Christian and that's it. And now you got to talk God into doing everything he needs to do for you. Now you got to, now you're just a puppet on a string and he'll do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He's a sovereign God and you ain't got nothing to do with it. That is a lie. That is not true. That's not true. So most of my prayer life today, and this day in my life and time, and I'm sure it's going to evolve and continue to change, is most of my time is hearing from God and knowing how to pray about something. And he begins to give me revelation on how to pray through my level of understanding of his word. My understanding of this word is my prayer life. My revelation, understanding of the word, not my mind thinking. I'm talking about my spiritual understanding. I have some spiritual understanding and I have a spiritual mind, and my spiritual mind talks to me. My spirit talks to me and with the Holy Spirit's help, of course. But you know something? I don't even have to consult the Holy Spirit on some things, because I already know what the Word says about something, and I already know that he'll agree with that, because if I'm in agreement with the Word, I know automatically God's in agreement with it. That's the key. I'm giving you a key today on how to get your prayers answered. Key today, how to walk by faith, because you're not going to do anything outside of the Word of God. You're not going to do anything outside of your agreement with God's Word. You've got to come into agreement. Completely in agreement with God. I'm talking totally in agreement. And so the word of God is given to us through revelation. And you know what? Jesus was the word made flesh, but he didn't become the word of the Spirit until he went and seated at the right hand of the Father and sent back the Spirit into our hearts to live in us, to bring revelation to us, to bring us understanding. Because you couldn't have gotten it. You couldn't have gotten it in your unregenerated state. You could not have heard what God wants to speak into the earth. Now, the other thing I hear in my spirit is that there is power present everywhere at all times to get anything done you need to get done. There is power present all around us. And it's very similar to the fact that just because you see electricity up there in those pipes and those doing a work, you're not looking at electricity. You're looking at the results of what electricity is creating. It took the tubes. It took the fluorescent, whatever's in those things. It took the wires that ran it there. You took the fixture to create the light. It took the light bulb to create the light. The electricity then had to be, it's the effect of the power is what that is. It's not electricity. I'm not looking at electricity because you can't see electricity. Electricity is invisible. Do you understand? Electricity is invisible. It's an invisible force. They always knew something was out there. But see, the Holy Spirit is revealing to the church that the power of God is present all the time. And it's invisible too. But it's spiritually. It's a spiritual force. Just like this is a natural force, electricity is a natural force. And it doesn't take a genius to understand that if you stick a piece of metal into that light socket there where there's electricity, there is a connector to electricity there. You connect to electricity and you're going to feel it. You connect to the power of God and you're going to feel it. I felt the power of God this week. Friday night I was so drunk I could hardly walk because I was in the midst of power. I was in the midst of the presence of electricity, God's electricity. And there was a corporate anointing because there was people who were there with one heart, one mind, and one accord. They left their families behind. They left their jobs behind. They left the worries behind. They left everything that was bothering them behind. They left the worry monies behind, their money worries. They left everything behind to get into a place where they could feel the power of God and the presence of God. And they did it in a unified way of more than one person. Here's somebody full of Holy Ghost. Somebody next to me full of the Holy Ghost. Here's somebody next. And there's like rows and rows of people that are focused on heaven, seeking God, hungry for God, hearts that are reaching out to God. Remember, it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. So they all did it by faith. They're getting in their cars by faith. They drove there by faith. They walked there by faith. I heard Brother Callahan say that everything you do it in the name of Jesus. Every single thing you do. It's coming a day when everything you do, you're going to have to do it by the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I get up in the morning. In the name of Jesus. By faith in that name. By faith in the name of Jesus, we do everything. Now, I could almost preach what he preached because I know it's the truth. I couldn't probably do as good a job as he did because he's been on the way a lot longer and he has more revelation than I do. But I tell you what, the Lord wants the body and wants us personally to understand how to walk in the power of God. How to live in the power of God and how to access the power of God. If man, as simple-minded as man is, can figure out how to harness electricity, the natural force, and do what it has done and create appliances that work in alignment with it, don't tell me that God can't give a body of Christ revelation how to walk in the miracles. He can, and he is. He is doing it today. He's doing it today. Now, I want to show you some scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Revelation is being spoken to you this morning. You have to catch it. You have to receive it because it's spiritually discerned. It's not your head will say, oh, that's bogus. But your spirit man is hearing this word today because it's spiritually discerned. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry time in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets under the old covenant. Remember, God was a covenant-keeping God to a thousand generations. God had a covenant with his people, and he gave them prophets. He gave them judges. He gave them kings. God was honorable to his promises in the old covenant. And God spake to them through prophets. But this day and dispensation we're living in, it's a new covenant. We're living under a new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, covenant. And God is, and I'm telling you, Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. And it says that he hath, but in this day, these last days, he is speaking to us through his son. Speaking. God is speaking. God's talking to me. I fully expect God to talk to me. I fully expect to have revelation of things. I fully expect God to talk to me because he just said it right here. See, I found it in the word and I can believe that. I can believe that he said that he is going to speak to me in these last days through his son. Who is his son? Jesus is his son. Is Jesus my savior? Yes, he's my savior. So therefore, the head, he is the head of the body. I'm the body of Christ. I'm as much a part of Jesus as Jesus' eyebrows are part of Jesus. Jesus' mouth is a part of himself. His head, I'm a part of his body. I mean, I am his body. The body of Christ is his body. And we're a part of the head. We're connected. We're connected to the head. And he's speaking to us, the church, in the earth. He's speaking. You know something? He's speaking to the body. He's spoken unto us, the body, by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now this is the part I want to hear. I want you to hear. By whom also he made the worlds, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Think about Jesus. Jesus. The one that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. And he said, he has spoken to us. God speaks with words. Doesn't God speak with words? You don't speak to somebody with your toe, your nose. It's words. A language. Something you can hear. Something you can understand. The picture that's being painted with words. Words paint a picture. Words bring a revelation of something. Words gives you enlightenment. It gives you an understanding. You can see, oh, I see that now. And so you see that it took words to create the understanding that we can walk and live by faith. And it's through the Son that he's speaking out to us. And Jesus even said, he said, the words I speak to you, they're not natural words. Those words are spirit words. And they're full of life. My words are not like other men's words. My words have power in them. My words are spirit words. If you can remember that spiritual things are powerful. God's spirit is powerful. God's spirit is the most powerful force in all the universe. If you could take all the bombs that was dropped on Hiroshima, it wouldn't compare to an nth, not even a microscopic, to the power that, of God. That you look at the universes. All that was created by the power of God. The Spirit of God. I have to think. Revelation knowledge comes through the Word. He hath in these last days spoken us by his Son. So anything you get when you're on your knees talking to God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know what Jesus is saying, chances are you're not going to pray very effectively. Because if you're not praying what Jesus is saying, and you're not in agreement with Jesus, your prayers are not going to be answered. Because your words have got to be in agreement with his words. Your heart has to be in agreement with his heart. Without faith, and you've got to have faith in it, because without faith you can't even get the thing answered what you're asking God for. So it's time to start realizing that it takes faith in his name, the name above every name. The power is in the name. The power is in the anointing. The anointing is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to do a work. But he needs somebody to do it. And guess who he's using to do it? The body. We're the only part of the body. We're only part of the church that's in heaven. Okay, let's look at it this way. Who is the church? It's the body of Christ. Who's the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church. Where's the head right now? In heaven. Where's the body right now? On earth. So where do we need the Word of God to be manifested? In heaven or on earth? It's on earth. Who is the one that's going to be used to get the Word of God manifested in the earth? We are. We are. When we finally realize that it's anointing and it's the power and it's power in his Word and it's power in your faith releasing his Word is going to manifest the power of God, the things that you desire. That's why it makes it real clear when Jesus said, what's the things you desire when you pray? When you pray. And it matters how you pray. And not just, oh, bless them, Jesus, is not manifesting the power. That's not manifesting his Word. You've got to put substance to your prayer life. You've got to put substance to your words. You've got to put faith and substance. I'm telling you, this is heavenly substance. Heavenly substance. The Word of God literally is heavenly substance. And you speak it out of your spirit to create. You create things with your mouth. Did you know that? There's creative power in your words. But you know what? You know what? You have to speak it in faith. And let me tell you something about faith. You cannot hate your neighbor in faith. You can't lie to your neighbor in faith. You can't cheat somebody in faith. You can't do anything wrong in faith. Did you know that? And once every single step out of love is sin. Every single step I take out of love is sin. And it just totally short circuits the power that wants to flow through me. That's why the devil's always trying to get us in offenses. Every one of us. Yeah. He wants us mad because he knows it'll shut down our faith. Yeah. He wants us upset because he shut down our faith. He wants somebody mad at you all the time. He wants somebody angry at you all the time because it'll get your eyes off what God's agenda is for your life. Take you off focus because you're over here trying to put this fire out. Go over here trying to put that fire out, trying to fix this problem. Takes you totally off track of your course, what you're supposed to be doing. And it's time that we understand that it is the... Oh, let me share some more here. Let me just share some more here. Look at this verse again, 3. Who being the... Here's what it says. Here's what it says. Jesus is the brightness of his glory, the Word. The express image of his person, the Word. And he upholds all things by the Word of his power. This power is his Word, and everything's being upheld by the power that's in the Word. All upholding all things by the Word of his power. If I could say it other ways, I could say, okay, everything is being upheld by the Word, which is the power that God works through. See, without the revelation of his Word, there's no power. You cannot hate somebody and tell me you're a Christian walking in the power of God. You can't do it. It's impossible. Because the Word would never hate somebody. The Word is love. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God and the Word was with God. And we know God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We know that the Word is God is love, so the Word is love. And the faith worketh by love. So I just have to come to grips with that. I mean, that's a hard thing to come to grips to. Then there's a problem here, God, because I'm mad at folks sometimes. I don't like some things that happen. And we're human. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I use it all the time. God, you know, I'm just going to short circuit your power working in my life because I'm mad. And he goes, that ain't acceptable. You got a job to do. That ain't acceptable. And he straightens me out. Not by anybody else, but he straightens me out. Because it feels so good to be mad at somebody. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, I want to get even there. Everybody want to get even? Mm-hmm. Straighten that one out, God. Straighten them out. But you know what I've learned? That if I cast the care, if I just give it to him, he always works it out. Yes, it does. He always does. He has a way of speaking to us because we're not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I'm full of the Word and I can speak the Word into a situation. I can speak life into a situation. As long as I can keep the flow of love and the switch of faith turned on, I can see mountains moved. I can see things change. I can speak to things. And I spend more time speaking to things than I do praying for things. I'm all the time speaking money in. I'm all the time speaking something to happen. I'm all the time speaking for other people. I'm calling those things. And I pray for people. People say, I never heard anybody pray like that. Because I'm not begging God and trying to get God to do something for me anymore. I'm allowing the Word, the revelation that's already in my spirit to do the work. Because Jesus said, it's my Father in me that worketh. The words. Let me show you that verse. That verse came to me this morning. And I had to go write it down. It's in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm speaking by revelation this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Actually, no, that's not it. I want to go there in a minute, but it's St. John 14, 10. St. John 14, 10. St. John, keep that place on Luke, because I want to take you back there. Luke 14, 10, though, says. St. John 14, 10. St. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Okay, let's say this. Let's just put ourselves now. This is before Jesus' death. This is before Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was totally, his ministry was completely at this point in time to the Jews. And he was revealing God as the Almighty God, the judge, that they understood to be Jehovah, to them as Father God. And he came to introduce the Father heart of God, not just the judge God. And he was their Messiah. And you know, I've often wondered what would have happened if the whole nation had fallen down and worshipped him and accepted him as their Savior. I always wondered what would happen, but they didn't. How would that have completed? I just don't know. But that is what I just don't know. And one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him about that. But going back to John, let me read this again. Believe me that I'm in the Father. Verse 11. Did I say?
Verse 10.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now, what does Jesus say about the born-again believer? He said, I will come and... He said, I'm going to go away. And I think it's in the same chapter. I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. Well, is he just in you just to make you feel good once in a while? Is he in you just to make you comfortable, make life easy? What does the Holy Spirit come to be in you for? Yeah, there's a lot of the guide, but he's also there to empower you. He's there to empower us, and he's there to quicken our, he quickens our bodies. He quickens our mortal bodies. He changes us. He heals us. He, you know, we're walking around with a power pack inside of us. There's a major powerful pack. Oh, I hate to say a power pack, but we've got some power going on that we're not aware of. And so now the awareness is coming to the body. The revelation is coming because Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? And a lot of people think, and I've shared this and shared this in the past, about how that Jesus, you know, you just thought he just walked around, there was this big aura of power, and you just got so close and you just got zapped with it. Zapped with it. And he just showed up. He just showed up to prove that he was the Son of God. He just showed up to prove I'm the Son of God on the earth. And you know, just believe in me. And even if you didn't believe in him, I'm still the Son of God, and I heal everybody. And we get this idea that Jesus just walked around, just the Son of God, and he was proving his deity. But the Bible teaches us something different. If you read the word in Philippians, it says that he stripped himself of all the power. He stripped himself of everything he had in glory. He literally became a human being, a man, just a regular man, just a regular human being who lived on the earth and never did a miracle until the power of God came upon him, until the anointing, until the Holy Ghost came upon him. He never did anything. Not one miracle, not one manifested miracle, not one thing. So he's saying here, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? Listen to this next verse. Next thing he says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The words. Now, if you can see the words being the works, they're no different. If you can see how God works, you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. How does God work? Well, he created everything, correct? Genesis teaches us that he created. God creates. God created everything. We see the plant life, the animal life, everything, the waters, the mountains. How did he do it? God said. One of the greatest revelations God ever gave me was how powerful his words are. How powerful his words are. How powerful his words are. I was holding my baby Tony in my arms, and I was heartbroken over a situation I'd just been through. Literally heartbroken. And I was praying in the spirit, just the tears were just flowing. I'm praying in the spirit, I'm crying, just crying. Praying in the spirit, I don't even know what I was praying. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit broke through all the tears, all the heartache, all the hurt, all the problems, and he spoke to me. And he said this to me. He said, and I was very young in the Lord. I mean, this has been 30 years ago. Tony will be 30. So I hadn't been saved in maybe about 5 years, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you are mortal. In other words, you're just mortal. You're just like you're just like a chair. You ain't got no power. What can that chair do? Can a chair do anything? Can a chair create anything? And he said, you're just mortal. And your words are just like you. There's no power in your words. There's no creative ability in my words. You know, I could not make myself a little taller because I wanted to. I couldn't change the hair color if I wanted to. There's not one thing I could speak into existence. Not one thing. My words. Because my words are just like me. The nature of them are like my nature. I'm human. But he said, but if you will take my words, he said, but I, this is how he said it. He said, but I am all powerful. I am immortal. And therefore my words are like me. I'm just a baby Christian now, and I'm not even thinking about any of this stuff. I'm just crying and praying. Poor me. And he says this to me. He says, but if you will take my words that are like me, and you will believe them in your heart, and you will speak them. And really, he was just giving me Romans chapter 10, 8, 9, and 10. And he said, if you will speak my words and believe them when you speak them, when you speak them and you believe them, it will be as if I spoke them. Now, do you have any idea what that did to my life at that moment? I was shaken by it. I thought, oh, wow, what is God saying to me here? What is this creative power in his words all about? And I've been on a journey ever since to find out. And every time I open the Bible, I just hear it. I hear it and hear it. So when Jesus is talking about words and works, I get it. Words and works are the same. And you got to be, and God will not just entrust his works unless you believe his words. Words, the works of God are created by the words of God. God ain't going to kill nobody because you want him to. He ain't going to trust his word. The word ain't going to kill somebody out of greed and out of anger and all this junk that's of the devil. That's of the devil. That's of the devil's crowd. But if we start walking in the love of God, and we truly want to manifest God's will on the earth, which is his will, which is his word. You see, you cannot separate God's will from his word. So God, give us revelation. That's why I shared Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your body a living sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking. So you can start thinking like God, talking like God. Believe in like God. And then he goes on that you can prove. You can prove I'm God. You can prove my word works. You can prove that I can raise the dead. You're going to prove that I'm alive. You're going to prove that I can do what I said I can do. Because the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. The power is dwelling in God. The power is God. Remember his words? Are just like him. And he says, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Jesus knew how to speak to mountains. He knew how to speak to fig trees. He knew how to tell. I'm going to tell you what, we've got a lot to learn, children of God. We got a lot to learn. We got God all figured out. And I'm telling you what, he is not who you think he is. He is not the way, he don't work the way you think he does all the time. But I tell you what, faith is the most important thing you'll ever get a grip on. Faith is the most important thing you'll ever walk in. And faith is something you have to access. Now I want to say this also, because this is revelation. There is another dimension around us. There is a spirit world all around us right now. It's a world that you don't see. Because it can't be seen naturally with a natural naked eye. But there's a world, there are beings in this room right now that are here. They're on a different frequency, they're on a different time wave or something's going on, but they're here. You have to just know that by faith, okay? The Bible talks about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You can't see them, but they're there. You just have to know that by faith because the word says it. See, everything you believe, you're going to have to believe it because the word says it and accept it. Oh, but I never saw a demon. I never experienced a demon. Well, I have, but even if I hadn't, I'd take the word of God's word for it. Amen. So anything the word of God says, you can accept, you can believe it's the truth. Now, it's the level of your believing that has a lot to do with your works, your works. Jesus said, the works I do. See, Jesus is waiting on the church to do some works. Jesus is waiting on me to do some works. I've been doing some works, little works. But I'm talking, Jesus is getting, it's getting, I'm telling you, the things are getting cranked up. Things are moving fast right now in the spirit realm. People have been to heaven, like Jesse Duplantis. They say the activity is really busy up there. Things are happening faster. Have you noticed the escalation of evil is greater on the earth? Well, I'll tell you what, God is not going to be outdone by the devil. And the reason you're seeing the escalation of evil is because there is an escalation of light and revelation and power being manifested in the earth. The enemy always has a counterfeit for whatever God is doing. But remember, it's a counterfeit. You cannot have a $100 bill if there wasn't a $100 bill to counterfeit. Have you ever seen a $7 bill? You'll never see a $7 bill until there's a real one. You're never going to see a manifestation of anything of the enemy because that counterfeits God unless there's a real deal. There is the real deal. There is the real manifestation of God in the earth. But Jesus made it real clear in this verse right here. He said, the words I speak to you, and he says, the Father in me, those are his words I'm speaking. And he said, it's the Father. It says it's the Father that's doing the works. Amen. So if you want Jesus, who sent his Spirit to you as a Gentile, born again of the Spirit, new creature in Christ. You've had to become new again, born again. And if you have the Spirit of Christ in you and you want to do the works of God, you see, God, there's God the Father, but he says he's given everything to his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He's given everything to his Son now. He's spoken to us through his Son. So in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, there's authority in that name. There is the power of attorney in that name. Power of attorney is a big deal. Anyone ever come up to you and say, hey, I want you to be my power of attorney? And they sign over they're basically saying, I'm going to give you all rights to me. You call all the shots in my life now. You make all the decisions. I'm giving up my power to you. I'm giving you the power of attorney. I'm making you responsible for making the decisions. And that's how God wants to trust us. He wants us to trust us on a level that Jesus was walking in the authority and the power of his Father. And now he's given the church the revelation knowledge of how to walk in his word and to speak his word because it's Jesus's word. All things have been given to him. In Philippians, it says that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess he is Lord. He's been made head over everything and the head of the church. Okay, I said a lot of really deep things right there. But honestly, it's not that hard to get if you understand that God wants to work. God just simply wants to do what he wants to do in the earth. And what does God want to do in the earth? Well, he wants to eradicate the devil because that's why Jesus came. He said he was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Are you destroying devil works in your life? I'm destroying devil works in my life. One of them is disease, sickness and disease. It's a thief. Another one is prosperity, blessings. I'll tell you what, we have to get a revelation of how to walk in prosperity because it is the way of God. It is the word of God. God is without lack. There is no lack in the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. What's he talking about the kingdom of heaven being within you? If you've been born again, filled with the power of God, given the word of God, to believe. And you've been given a measure of faith like I just read. And everybody can take that measure of faith and do something with it. And develop their faith. And he's given you his word to be able to speak. And he's the head and we're the body. He's the church, head of the church. We're the body. We've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ. And he expects us to do some work. Amen. That's how Jesus did it. He said, believe me for the work's sake. I'm just doing what the Father would do if he was here. See, the body of Christ has got to start doing what Jesus would do if he was here. What did Jesus do when he was here? Well, he raised the dead. He cast out devils. He did all that. But do you know something? I've come to really understand some things that not everybody got healed that Jesus came in contact. Did you know that? Not everybody got healed. Because he didn't come here to manifest, I'm Jesus. He came to show us the Father. He came to show us the Word. And he came to give us revelation of who he is. And what we can be. He wants us to know who we are and how to operate in the things of the kingdom. You know, we think, oh, well, it just works. It just works. Well, you try that when you're wiring a house with electricity. Oh, you can just do it any old way to work. Really? You mean you can just go in there and throw those wires? I can just go wire a house and anybody can do that? Hey, you just say string some wires and hook up your stuff and plug it in. It'll work. Do you know stuff don't just work unless you know how to make it work?
Amen.
You got to know how to work, how electricity works to make it work. You know, just turn the key, it'll start. Well, we're just so used to turning keys to make them work. But there's a reason that car starts out there for me. The key's the key. Can't get the car to run without the key. There's something there that has to happen before it will do what it's designed to do. Now, the body of Christ is created. I believe God birthed the body of Christ to continue the works of Jesus. The reason I know that is because of what he said in the Great Commission in Matthew. I know too much to sit down. Might as well take me on to heaven. I wouldn't be of any good at all by myself. Because, see, I'm here to do a work. It's the words that I speak into you. They are spirit and they are life, he said. And he said, it's the words that are doing the work. But until you have revelation of the words, you're not going to do the works. You're going to be down here begging and unhappy and miserable and begging God to come down and do something when he's already told you what to do. He told me what to do. He's told me to speak to things. He's told me to call those things that are not as though they are. He's called me to walk in faith in certain situations. He said, you walk by faith and not by sight. Okay. Well, it doesn't feel very good, but faith is not about feelings. I can't go by how I feel. I have to go by faith in everything I do, and faith works by love. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. I really want to please you, God. I really want to please God. From my heart, God knows I want to please him. And he said, well, you ain't going to please me like that. Out of faith and all mad. You ain't going to please me like that. You're going to have to get back on your faith. Okay, then I got to love people, right? Yes, because faith don't work without love. And we're not talking about, you know, this filial love, like I have mercy and all this feel natural stuff. Because if human beings could do all, if that human love would make faith work, then everybody be working faith. That's another revelation people need to get a revelation of. It's not true because I love my children, but that ain't the kind of love that's making faith work. That's not the kind of love that you access for faith. Pastor Jack hit the nail on the head, and I've been seeking God about that, accessing a supernatural kind of love that goes beyond. I've watched how did Paul get beat and stoned and just kept right on going. Most of us would say, I don't want nobody hurting me. Nobody mad at me. Well, he turned everybody upside down. He had riots going on in cities everywhere he went. They had to let him down by a window one time. There were several men who made a pact. I think, 15 of them had made a pact that we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink, we've made a covenant with each other, and we're going to die if we don't kill him. Can you imagine people hating you that much? I always wonder, whatever happened to those guys? They probably died. I mean, I'm talking about a God who will allow people to be sacrificed for you. Do you ever think about what happened to the soldiers that were holding Peter captive? And the church believed, there was a church on earth at one time who really spoke things into existence, who really believed God. And those chains fell off of Peter, and he was, the prison door opened, the guards fell asleep. Those men lost their lives because of that. Do you think God was worried about those poor little guys? No, he was obligated in the earth to honor the word. We think God is down here a puppet and moving around and just making things happen. It's the word of God in your heart and in your mouth that's going to make things happen.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to see nobody die, but I'll tell you what, they better get out of my way. They better get out of the way of God. Because God's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life if you will speak it into existence. Thought about those guards. Man, God, those guards got sliced in half. Over that. Care about them guards? You have pity on those guards? God is obligated to honor his word in the earth. We just have we take our humanness and apply it to God. We apply our human way of thinking and what we would do. And we're not according to the word of God. We got to go by the word of what God has said. God said, I'll laugh at them. I will have them in derision. He said, you know, he's going to cut down nations for us. You realize that there was many, many nations that they go out there and kill them all in the old covenant? But God's so merciful and God's so good. See, we have got to get back to knowing God and knowing what he said. Now, There was people that went to hell that met Jesus. There's people in hell right now who met Jesus face to face, physically. Did you know that? In hell right now. Jesus told one of these groups, he said, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe I'm who I am. That's just the way it's going to happen. It's going down like that, man. It's going to happen just like that. If you don't start believing, you're going to go to hell. There's a whole bunch of people out here going to hell now. And if Jesus himself got in front of somebody and said, except you believe. Didn't he say in one place, except you believe? Except you believe. I believe. Believing is the most important thing I will ever develop in my life. Believing God is the most important thing I've ever worked on. I've been working on believing God. I've been working for a long time. I saw this, and the Lord gave me that like 30 years ago or 25 years ago and said to me, it's the words that have the power. Amen. And it's the words that you believe that are released through you on the earth, the person, a human being, just a simple little human being. But see, Jesus demonstrated it for 3.5 years in his ministry because he was stripped of his deity and he operated as a man under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he said, the words, it's the Father speaking. And it's the work, it's the Father that does the work. Jesus was a vehicle that God was able to manifest himself through. And now we're the body of Christ. Okay, now I want to go to Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. I'll tell you what, something getting ready to bust out in here. You don't speak and preach this kind of word without manifesting it. You do not believe this kind of word and not see it come to pass. It says that the word, the signs and wonders follows the word. I know it. I feel it all over me. Luke 10:19 says, behold, actually let's go 18:19. Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 18:19. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He, Satan, was. He said, behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power over some of the enemy. I give you power over a little bit of the enemy. No, I give you power over all the enemy. All the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power over all the enemy. Now, there's a scripture, I don't know exactly where it is. If you all want to look it up, you can. But it says, Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. He said, you know, if Satan is trying to cast out Satan, then his house will fall. But he said, if I, by the power of God, do cast out devils, I'm casting out devils by the power of God. He said, he's not in agreement with the devil, basically, is what he's saying. So how do you expect to walk in any power if you're in agreement with the dark realm? We cannot. He said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you shall be a son and a daughter to me. So it's very important that we do not fellowship with darkness. And if you read the whole book of 1 John, 1 John was not written to sinners. It's written to Christians, the whole book. In fact, most of the New Testament was written to Christians, the body of Christ. And staying in fellowship is the hardest thing you and I will ever do. Because it's the fellowship that works the word. The word works through your unity and agreement with the word. You have to come in agreement with it. And you have to get you lined up. You've got to get out of the way of what God wants to do. It's real important that we come out from among them the way the world lives. And not coming into agreement. There is works of the flesh. But we are not of the flesh. We're of the spirit. All of that thing for 1 minute that you're going to slide by the devil. And he's not going to cause you some trouble. But you have got all the power you ever going to need against him. But it's going to have to work by faith in love. Works faith works by love. So go with me to Ephesians again. And I want to show you a couple of prayers and I'm going to close. Paul prayed this after talking to these people and giving them this awesome introduction. I was reading it this morning. It's like, oh my goodness, he really is bragging on them. And he's really giving them some revelation. And I'm thinking, man, think of the level these people must have grown to get what he was even saying to be able to understand it. It's like you wouldn't go to a kindergarten class and write all that to them. You wouldn't give a bunch of kindergartners this kind of revelation.
because it would have just like went over their head. But I believe these people had it. I believe they were walking in some power and revelation power. But Paul was praying for them a prayer after he said all this. After he said all this, he says in Ephesians 17, chapter 1, verse 17, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is his prayers. These are the things he prayed in his prayers for them. Prayed many prayers for them. He said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. Man, it sounded like they already had quite a bit of wisdom. He's just talking to them like on his level there. But he says, I want you to have more. I'm sure Paul's praying, God, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. I want more understanding. I think, you know, people that think they got it all down, they think they know everything, and they can tell you how to live and tell you what to do and how to figure it all out. They don't know nothing. They don't even really know anything. They don't even know how to get out of the rain for themselves, trying to tell me how to live. God says, give me, Lord, the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Give me the spirit of wisdom, God. I got to have revelation here. I got to hear from you, God. I got to get a word from you. I need understanding from you. And I've just been walking along and reading the word, and all of a sudden, bam, there it is. And you know, it always brings me back to the word. It always brings me back to the word. Give me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you. Now, I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter. I just flipped the page here. Chapter 3. And here's another prayer. Here's another prayer. You can read the prayer that he prayed for them in chapter 1. But here's a model prayer that he's praying for them. And he tells them, this is what I'm praying for you. Verse 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, out of all the things that I shared this morning and all the revelation that I have received, it's all stored one place. Guess where it's stored? And guess where it's working? In my inner man. Everything I know is in my inner man. Everything I have is in my inner man. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. And that's where my inner man, my spirit man, the real me, that's where I pray. That's where I release my faith. That's where I release words. I speak out of my spirit. I release God's word out of my spirit because they're spirit words. And if I don't connect my words, my spirit words, you know, you're speaking spirit words. I'm speaking spirit words this morning. I'm not speaking out of my head. I'm talking out of my spirit. He dwells in me by faith. Everything a child of God is going to accomplish in life, it's going to happen by faith. Not because you can talk God into it. Not because you hope God will have mercy on you. And he does all that through other people's prayers maybe. But a lot of things don't happen to us because we just don't believe for it. Mm-hmm. We let things not happen because we've not grown to them, developed to the place where we can speak to that thing. Mm-hmm. And call it into existence. You know, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, He said, there's power present all the time everywhere. And if people would just speak and believe, they could have whatever they say. Mm-hmm. They could have everything they say. He said, I told my people they can have what they say, and they're only saying what they have. And people just say what they have out of their head. They're not speaking the word in their spirit, in their inner man by faith. They're not walking this level of faith. They're not walking in this revelation of faith. And so he says, and I have to. It's like God won't let me. I just don't know how I can exist any other way. I could not live any other way but by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's in Habakkuk. It's in Romans chapter 1. It's in Hebrews. And it's like anything out of faith is sin to me. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Do you know if I start living by my feelings, I'm not living by faith anymore if I'm living by my feelings. I've stepped out of my faith realm into my feeling realm. And now I'm just living by my feelings. And how much power is in that? None. Not an ounce. I could cry all day and it ain't going to make God do nothing for me because God ain't up there trying to do anything for me anyway. He's already done everything that he's ever going to do for me. He's already brought healing. I just have to call it to come forth. I have to manifest it. I manifest pretty much my healing all the time. I hardly ever go to anybody for prayer for healing because I've learned how to manifest it by speaking to things. I'm the one that's got the pain, so I speak to the pain. You're going to be able to comprehend with your spirit man. Remember, he's talking about the inner man. You're going to be able to comprehend with the spirit man what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he says this, and this is prayer now. This is prayer time. He's still praying. Unto him, Lord, that is able to do exceeding, unto you, Lord, unto him, you, that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what did Jesus say the power was working in him? It was the words that did the work. We know that it took power to heal the blinded eyes. We know it took power. And what happened when James and John, after the resurrection of Christ, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they go into the Gate Beautiful, and there's the lame man, and they said, such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And then when they're taken to the Sanhedrin and they're questioned, he said, it was faith in that name that made this man whole. See, it's going to take faith in the name, faith in who the name represents, the authority that he's given to you. Now, that brings me to Matthew. I never did get there. Let's go to Matthew again. I don't know what happened to Matthew. I got Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus, you know, that's kind of comforting in a way. There's going to always be some doubters in the group. Not good, but he said some doubted. But this is what Jesus said anyway. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's pretty awesome. Remember the name above every name? Remember the power of the attorney? And then he delegates us the power of attorney right here. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And what did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem. Do you know the church stayed in Jerusalem and they were told to go out into all the world? Do you ever think about that? They didn't do it, did they? It took persecution to get them out. And I'm going to tell you something. I kind of have a sense that if you stay in your own little world and God has commissioned you to go out into the world and you got a call in your life and you stay in your own little Jerusalem, there was going to be some persecution come to drive you out of your comfort zone. Because they were comfortable. They were having a party right there in Jerusalem. But God, since they just stay in Jerusalem, they get in the world. Reach the lost. Let this power that you've got go out and be used. Well, Father, I close today, and I thank you, Father, for this word today and this power that went forth today and anointing that went forth. And I just thank you that walls were pulled down today. Barriers came down. Hindrances came down. Revelation came. In Jesus' name, amen.